I'm going here. Tonight our 10-minute speaker is Greg from San Diego.
Hey, you guys, my name is Greg, and I'm an alcoholic. And, boy, I was just flashing back to when I first started going to meetings with the guys and going to the big speaker meetings and just looking up at those guys when they got up at the mics. I didn't start getting nervous till 7 o'clock, so that's progress for me. I used to sing in a band called Moonshine Junkie, and I would have anxiety all day long, so I'm pretty much in the moment at the time till 7 o'clock. I was thinking about what I could say when I came up here to share my message, and I guess if anybody has a gift, we all have our gifts that we can bring into sobriety, and we all have our PowerPoints. And I wasn't a person who got it right off the bat when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. In fact, it took me 6 years to get 1 year of sobriety, and I came in at a very young age. I was raised by an alcoholic father who has 15 years in the program now. But when I was young, he was not sober. I was raised around drinking. I was raised around other things. In fact, they were hippies, and so other things were kind of normal for me to grow around. And I can remember as a kid, at a very young age, my father would let me. You know, I brought it up to him. I said, you know, I remember as a kid, you would let me drink the beers, and he said, "Yeah, I just wanted to see you bounce off the walls to see what would happen." It was kind of a joke thing around the house because that's the kind of guys. And I ended up being the same kind of guy with my kids. The guy I swore I'd never be like, I ended up being just like him at the end of my drinking. And it's kind of funny how that happens. I got a whole new respect for him. But alcohol did for me what it did for everybody else. I guess it made me. As soon as I took that drink, it made me cool. It made me. Have a lot of courage. It made me be able to handle situations that I wouldn't handle before. I guess the promises came true when I took that first drink. You know, all my life I've kind of been irritable, restless, and discontent, and always had a type. My dad says it's a type Z personality where I'm just a little. Takes people a little while to get to know me and comfortable around me. But I took off as soon as I found that first drink, and I remember that. As soon as I put alcohol into my body, I was one of those kind of guys who never could stop at one, two, or three. I was always the guy that was drinking until I would be able to pass out. And at first, it wasn't bad. At first, it made me funny. You know, at first, it made people laugh at me. I was the kind of guy that plays quarters, and I like to lose at quarters because that way I drink more and more. And I know it's only 10 minutes, and there's so much to share, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to skip forward to my first blackout. And I remember my first blackout, and I remember how scared I was when I had my first blackout because I couldn't remember what happened. But then the blackout started to become a normal thing, and when I didn't blackout, it was abnormal. Alcohol had taken a turn in my life to where I wasn't funny anymore. Things started happening in my blackouts that weren't too cool. I remember hearing the stories of the way I would act and the things I would say. And the behavior that would carry on under the influence, and I could not remember a single thing. And my behavior became more and more and more violent to the people around me. And you know what that happens. It talks about in the 12x12. It talks about, you know, these occurrences happen, and they start warping your personality. And what would happen with me is that before you knew it, I became like an atom bomb. Every time I would drink, you never know when I would blow up. It got to the point to where the police were coming to my house on a regular basis. It got to the point where my children, my daughter especially, were being questioned by the police about what she just witnessed. I remember waking up one morning with a hole in the wall and saying, "What happened? You know, they called your father over to try to save us, and you ended up throwing him through the wall." You know, it's nothing that I'm proud of. And I remember hearing those things, and I wouldn't want to go outside for a week or two, you know, because I lived in an apartment complex and stuff. It was a nightmare. You know those things when you wake up from a nightmare from sleep and reality is worse than the nightmare that you're at and you just want to go back to sleep because it was a lot better. And that's what life had become to me. I started going through convulsions, and I started becoming real, I guess what they call a type 3, a stage 3 alcoholic, where going through the emergency room became a regular basis. And once again, I'm standing in front of the doctor, and he's saying, Greg, you're going to die if you keep drinking. The IVs were in me. I remember one time rigor mortis was sitting in my legs, and they had to wheel me in a wheelchair because I couldn't move them. And you know what? I've had people stand in front of me saying, Greg, why can't you make a six-pack last a week like me? And I would think to him, I said, why would you want, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I remember at the point I felt like I was losing my mind. I felt like I was going crazy because of all the things that were happening. And I had a lot of psychosis when I came in because, you know, when you took alcohol away from me, there was a problem too. My mind would wander. I'd have those days where I felt like everybody was laughing at me. It just wasn't fun. I'd have those days when everything would just start getting in motion, and I really felt crazy, and I would go back to drinking. And plus, those past remorses of the guilt that I was carrying from all those things would haunt me at work. I remember driving a certain time at every day, and those things would just come into my head. I remember coming to my first AA meeting, and I sat out at the Mira Mesa Alana Club, and I heard those guys share their stories, and I found out that I was like them. I remember I got my first message of hope when I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. But it wasn't enough to keep me sober, you know, because I'm one of those kind of guys who can watch that lady in the commercial smoking a cigarette through her throat, and it makes me want to have a cigarette. I hear somebody, you know, talking about the drinking stories, and I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about, oh, alcohol was my higher power at the time. It took me a long time. But I'm going to tell you something since I only got 10 minutes. It's coming to Alcoholics Anonymous that saved my life, because I've met some really fine, outstanding guys in Alcoholics Anonymous that never gave up on me. Never once did they give up on me. I've had people who did give up on me, but I had people, a lot of people who didn't, and those are the guys that I admire today. Every time I've learned that falling down doesn't make you a failure. Not getting back up makes you a failure. And I've also learned that I'm still alive today, and I got a chance. At the end of my drinking there, every time I relapsed, it seemed like I was dodging a bullet. I remember my father used to serve time at the H&I commitments down at the prison. I said, Dad, you know what I drank last night? I drove. I could have killed somebody. He goes, worse off, Greg. You could have killed somebody else and ended up in prison. He goes, I meet a lot of people and they're good guys. They just got drunk one night and ended up killing somebody. That's the kind of alcoholic I am. That could happen. That could happen to me. So I'm very lucky today, one day at a time, that I'm standing here and I'm sober. I've had several sponsors, and I've been taken through the steps, and I made going to meetings a regular basis. And I showed up at meetings drunk, and I showed up at meetings sober. And some of the times when I showed up at the meetings drunk, they kicked me out of the meetings because I would be disruptive. But you know what? They didn't tell me I couldn't come back the next day. They told me I had to leave that day. And I don't blame them. I remember one time this lady was saying, I hope you're not driving. And they told me, I said, yeah, your car. And but you know what? The next time at the meeting, the guys welcomed me back. And they said, you know, you got another chance. Working through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and doing my fourth and fifth step and finding a power greater than myself has cleared off those that stuff that I was carrying around with me. And it's also brought a hope into my life. Something that I never had before. I got a thing that I love, that Tom Hanks movie Castaway, when he says he didn't kill himself because he never didn't know what the tide would bring in the next day. And that's the kind of thing I have when life situations happen to me today. I got this feeling that something can happen tomorrow. If I stay sober and I just do what I'm supposed to do and take the actions, something's going to happen tomorrow. Because I believe that God's got a plan for me. I didn't have that belief before. I didn't have that. Everything was dark. Everything was just the end of the world. And congratulations to the newcomers. Congratulations to the people who just moved out here. And we're lucky in San Diego to have such a strong fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous, especially with these guys, a lot of the guys in this meeting. You've heard a lot about the Rocket Riders. I'm a Rocket Rider. I go to the Saturday men's meeting out here. I go on retreats, which I remember my first retreat. I never thought I would be able to do something like that, going on a retreat with a bunch of guys. What is this? But you know what? I ended up going out there. I go every year, and I've been doing it ever since. My sobriety date has changed. But you know what? The thing is that my periods of sobriety have got longer and longer and longer, and I refuse to call myself a relapser because I don't want to believe that, because I start believing that, it's just what I'm going to be. I ended up getting 4 years of sobriety, and after that 6 years, I ended up getting 4 years of sobriety. I was sponsoring some guys, and I ended up cop and a couple of resentments from guys that were close to me in the program. And I remember those resentments. I remember reading in the book, it says resentment is the number one offender. And I remember those resentments being so powerful that it became, my spirituality went out the program. And it says we got a daily, okay. And it says we got a daily retreat based on the, I got drunk. I came back to the program, and I'm coming up on 2 years of sobriety in a couple months. God willing, that will be the last time I ever have to go through that. But I know that I'm up here speaking at this meeting today, and I know I continue going on to the meetings because I have to chase that spiritual side of this program. I have to be inside the herd and not outside the herd. And it's such a privilege to be up here and sharing this with you guys. Thank you very much.